Good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see you. Had a good morning and looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us tonight. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you tonight. So thankful that you love us. And God, I do pray that you might work and move in hearts and lives tonight. That God, that you might bless the reading and preaching of your word. I do pray for Brother Cardi and others that are sick and laid up. And God, that you might heal their bodies and give them their strength and their health back. But God, meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. That's all. Stand, turn to page 545. 545, Jesus loves the even me. I am so glad that my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has read. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me.
Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King. Song at eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me, Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
If you're glad about that, say amen. You may be seated. Turn over, don't turn, just look over the next page, 546, just a closer walk with thee. We'll sing all three verses of this one tonight, 546.
I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, let me walk close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, if I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden share? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. Guide me gently, safely o'er, to thy kingdom shore, to thy shore. Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee. Let it be, dear Lord, let it be.
Thank you. All right, good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. And after church, I need to meet with really the adults that their kids are going to camp, kind of organized next Sunday night, and got something we want to talk over. So if you're going to go to camp, if your kids are going to go to camp, I need to meet with you just for a minute. Wednesday night, back in God's house, Bible preaching and prayer, and Patch Club at 7. Saturday, Operation Saturation, been doing it for 10 years, and still need a lot of help, still a lot of doors we need to knock. and people that need the Lord. Somebody ran into somebody yesterday and said they used to come to our church, but because my dad preached on something, they got mad and quit. So, you know, that's the way it goes. But anyway, people still need to know the Lord. Next Sunday, April 19th, Teen Supper and Silent Auction will begin at 4:45. We'll quit serving at 5:45, get ready for the service, have the service, and then at the conclusion of the service, dessert and conclusion of the auction. Hope you'll take part. A lot of good things we'll have. Then Mother's Day, special gift, message, and gift for all the mothers. Lone Star Baptist College will be with us at night. And then Memorial Day is coming up. May 24th, we'll have an afternoon service followed by a fellowship. Looking forward to that. Teachers and workers training meeting, if you're wanting to go to that, if you want more information, we can give it to you. Brother Hanks does a great job, good ideas, inspiration. They feed you lunch, and so it'll be from 10 to 3. But if you want to go, we need to know by Wednesday night so we can know whether to take a van or not. So, and remember the things coming up and those on our prayer list. So let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering tonight. Your place. All right, well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Appreciate the giving, God's people. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless this offering, help it to be used to them. Be used of the Lord. So, Brother Ferret, will you do that for us, please, sir? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Aren't you glad God doesn't make mistakes? Amen. Let's stand one more time. Page number 540, It's Just Like His Great Love. We'll sing 1, 3, and 4 of this one tonight. Page 540.
A friend I have called Jesus, whose love is strong and true, and never fails, however try, no matter what I do. I've sinned against the love of His, but when I knelt to pray, confessing all my guilt away, the sin clouds rolled away. It's just like Jesus to roll the stone away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like His great love. When sorrow's clouds o'ertake me and break upon my head, when life seemed worse, useless, and I were better dead, I take my grief to Jesus. Jesus, then nor do I go in vain. For heavenly hope he gives that cheers like sunshine after rain. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds of rain. It's like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love. Lift up on the last. Oh, I could sing forever of Jesus' love divine, of all his care and tenderness for this poor life of mine. His love is in and over all, and wind and waves obey. When Jesus whispers peace, he's still and rolls the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to roll the clouds away. It's just like Jesus to keep me day by day. It's just like Jesus all along the way. It's just like his great love.
Now God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
That all the world may know our loving Savior, that he lived and died that they might live again. O Lord Jesus, take and use us. Let your light shine through us. Let us go. Darkness, who need to see the light. They need to find the one who is the way. Who will tell them? Oh, who will spread the news? They'll be lost unless we go and give and pray. That all the world may know our loving Savior, that he lived and died that they might live again. O Lord Jesus, take and use us. Let your light shine through us. Let us go, that all the world may know. Harvest time is calling, but laborers are few. The fields are wide, and now's the time to go. Souls are dying who need to know the truth. Jesus gave his life that all the world may know. That all the world may know our loving Savior, that he died and lived that they might live again. O Lord Jesus, take and use us. Let your light
shine through us, let us go. That all the world may know,
the world may know.
Oh Lord Jesus, take and use us.
Let your light shine through us,
let us go. That all the world may know,
that all the world may know.
Amen. Amen. If you know that Jesus is a loving God, say amen. Not everybody knows that. And we can't stop until everybody knows. Everybody understands. Everybody has a message, at least, or someone to tell them. And I encourage you to take tracts, hand them out. And I love the ones with the happy face on them, and then the other ones with the hearts. Does anybody really care? Sometimes people think nobody cares. Nobody cares. But there ought to be somebody that cares. Amen? And we do know that Jesus cares, and we ought to care as well. Well, we're going to finish up our message from this morning. Marco and Ronnie weren't here, so I'm going to have to re-preach this morning's message, Marco and Ronnie, for you two, and then we'll get into tonight's message. Is that okay? Yeah, some of you, oh, preacher. Anyway, Jude, and if you can find the book of Jude right before Revelation and stand in reverence and love God's Word, Revelation or Jude, verse number 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Look what Jude hoped for them. Mercy unto you and peace and love be what? Don't you wish that could be multiplied in your life? I don't just want 1 plus 1 plus 1. I want 2 times 2 or 2 times 3. I want it multiplied. And that comes from the Lord. Then verse 3, beloved, there's that endearing term. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So you have the Word of God. You have the faith. You have the doctrine. And we are to earnestly contend for the faith. And Jude was going to write a letter, but he said, I was urged by the Holy Spirit of God to write this memo right before Revelation to, you got to stand up. It's time. It's a call to arms. There's a siren going off. Hey, got to wake up and get in the battle, the fight for the faith. Why? Verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares. Oh, pastor, we'll be able to see them. Not if they creep in. Not if they come in the front door. They're going to creep in through the window, through the back door. And it says, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now go to verse number 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and ever. What's the last word? Amen. Amen. So be it. So be it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. I pray that you might help me tonight. Help me to forget everything I want to say. God, help us to end the night with our eyes on you, who you are, and not just who you are right now, but God, who you will always be. God, help us to be excited about our future and excited about serving you with all of our heart. Thank you for those that are here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So he warns them. He said, there's those apostates, and they're going to come in, and they're going to come in among the church, and they're going to deceive the simple, deceive others. And he says, warn them, you've got to stand up and fight for the faith. Earnestly contend. That's an action word. I'm going to contend for the faith, for this book. There's already been people that have died for this book. They were caught translating God's word and they were killed. But praise the Lord, we have a copy of God's perfect word of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have here, and apostates really have no hope. What do you mean, preacher? They decided in their own heart they will not believe. They're going to resist the truth. They're going to resist the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to do their own thing, and they think everything's going to be fine. And that's their choice. You were to think everybody that's living and breathing still has a chance. But the apostates have already made up their mind. I don't care. I'm not going to believe that book. I'm not going to believe in Jesus Christ. And they have sealed their doom. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, does God give them time and space to repent? Absolutely. We heard about a loving God. Revelation chapter 2, verse 21. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. God's not a mechanical. He doesn't put buttons. We don't do things according to what He wants us to do. We have a free will. Praise the Lord. I serve God because I want to. I have decided to follow Jesus. That ought to be your decision. You get to decide whether you want to serve the Lord or not. And here God says, I gave her space. I gave her an opportunity to repent, and she repented not. Look at the next verse. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. He even said, except they repent. But many of them will not. Go to chapter 9 and verse number 13. In the midst of the tribulation period, here in the trumpet judgments, chapter 9 and verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which hath the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw horses in visions, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and their heads, the heads of the horses were at the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three were third part of the men killed by fire, by smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads with them, they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not. You think that'd wake you and I up? Think you could see all this taking place? They didn't repent. They repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorceries nor their fornication nor of their thefts. Wouldn't you think? All this has taken place. The wrath of God is being poured out, but they repented not. That's the apostate. Go to one more, chapter 16 and verse number 9. Chapter 16 and verse number 9. These are the vile judgments. It says in verse 9, and the men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which had power of the plagues, and they repented not to give Him glory. Verse number 11, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores and repented not of their deeds. So Jude tells us about the apostates, what's going to happen to them. But he tells us, like I said this morning, but build up yourselves on your most holy faith. You're building. You're building something by this Word of God. I said this morning, the blueprint of the Christian life is the Word of God. It helps us. It helps us to look and say, what do I need to do in my family, in my finances, in relationships, in my priorities, in my goals, based upon the blueprint of God's Word. You're building. What do I need to build? You ought to build some convictions. Some convictions. There ought to be some things that you said, I'm not going to do and I am going to do. Why? Because mama said so. Guess what? Mama's not around anymore. Well, my pastor said that. Your pastor may not be around. You better do it because you have a conviction because God said so. Amen. God said this, and I've got a conviction that I won't do it because of the Word of God. Some conviction. What is it that's going to change your mind? Some of you were under my dad. What kind of food did my dad hate? Olives. Remember the Seacrest girls used to get those black olives? They'd put one on each finger. Hi, Pastor Swope. My dad couldn't hardly look at them. He hated those. But I'm like, what's wrong with olives? Till I tried them. I said, Dad was right. No olives in my house. But you know, I had to try them. So, I mean, kind of a slithery substance. How many of you like olives? Sinners, I tell you what. How many of you do not like olives? Well, amen. Hallelujah. There's some godly people in here tonight. Praise the Lord. No. But that's not a conviction. You need to get your convictions from the Word of God. What are you going to do? What are you going to allow? Hey, it doesn't matter what everybody else. The Congress can legalize abortion, can legalize marijuana and everything else, but what does God say? Convictions from the Word of God. Not only build conviction, but build some character. Some character. This will help you build some character. What is character? Character is doing right. Doing right in all circumstances. Do we just do right when the boss is around or mom and dad are around or the authority is around? Or do we do right because right is right to do? I think Bob Jones Sr. says, do right till the stars fall. That's character. No matter who's there, no matter what, hey, do right. Do right by other people. Are we supposed to be vengeful? Are we supposed to hold bitterness and unforgiveness? No. That's not what the Bible says. Build some character. Hey, I'm going to do right. You know, I think it's 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians, they were waiting for the Lord to come and they quit working. And God says, hey, get out and work because he who would not work should not eat. I have some character. Do right. And then the Word of God ought to help us build some commitment. Commitment. Your commitment should not be to a person, to a denomination. Your commitment ought to be to this book and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm committed. Hey, I made some vows to my wife in Beeville, Texas. I said I would love her and honor her and take care of her till death do us part. I made those vows to her. I made them to God, to her, and that's a commitment. Are you committed? Folks, it's not going to get any easier. I'm going to get any easier. What if we go through another, shutdown like 2020? Hey, you can't read your Bible. You can't carry your Bible. You can't do this. Daniel, you can't pray. Daniel could have closed his shutters and prayed. He didn't change a thing. He knew his allegiance to God was a commitment that he ought to do right. So the Word of God ought to help us build some things, build a commitment to do right. Then he goes on, and we talked about those four things, but verse 22, and if some having compassion, making a difference. You know, there are some people that will listen. There are some people that are not apostate, that are determined that they're not going to serve God. They don't want to hear anything. You cannot talk to them. You can't reason with them. They've already made up their mind. But there are others that want to know. Others that have been taught wrong, been in other religions, and they haven't given them the true Word of God. And we're not to write them off because they need compassion. They need someone that will love them and say, hey, this is what God has said. Well, you believe that God's going to send everybody to hell. No, that's your choice. God has done everything he can so that you can go to heaven. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He made the invitation. He made the way so clear and plain and easy and understandable. All you have to do is receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's done everything. And we must, having compassion. Having compassion means to show kindness, to be helpful. You know, my job is not a lawyer to prove, all the world out there, and I'm going to prove to you there's a God, and I'm going to prove to you there's a hell. That's not my job. My job is just to be a witness. This is what God has said. And this is what God's done in my life personally, and this is what He can do for you. And just be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. This world needs Christians, God's children, to be and have compassion, show concern, show kindness, want to help. And will it make a difference? And if some having compassion, making a difference. Someone has said, love will find a way where logic fails. You can argue with somebody till they're blue in the face and red in the face, but it's not going to get anywhere. You can just say, I can show you what the Lord has said. Let me show it to you. So we need to tell others about Christ. Then verse 23, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Do you realize that the devil does a good job of messing people up? He gets them addicted. He gets them deep in the hole of sin and debauchery and ungodliness. And we're not just supposed to say, well, you made your bed, lie in it. We're supposed to help them. But Jude says you need to do it with caution. There's some that have made their choice. You know, we don't just live in a day and age where ungodliness is, homosexuality and others is behind the closet. I mean, they're parading it. They're banding together. They're marching. They want you and push it down our throats to accept it and legalize it, and it's okay. And all the voices and all the confusion, think about it. I think it was a year or so ago, there was a church that had a gay pride flag flying in front of it. And I'm like, what? God loves them, yes. But God does not like their lifestyle. It's sin against Almighty God. So he tells him, be careful. And then he says, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, sin's like leprosy. You wouldn't get close to a leper. He just wouldn't take his clothes off and you grab his clothes and start rubbing all over you. You wouldn't do that. Leprosy was highly contagious. And we can love the person, but we don't have to like the sin that they're in. But then, I'm going to finish up tonight. Look at verse 24. It goes from the problem and the plea and the judgment upon apostasy to our Savior. It says, now unto Him. We ought to go away from Sunday night looking to Him. He's the answer. Yes, there's a lot of problems. Yes, there's think about all the voices that teenagers have today. Well, my pastor says this, but this guy in the internet says this. Well, this podcast says this. Well, this guy says this. How many voices do they have that wants their attention and allegiance and their minds to be bent towards this belief? And how much time do they spend in the eternal, inerrant, perfect Word of God? It ought to make a difference. So much. But our mind ought to be, Jude, the brother of Jesus, says, now unto Him. Love it. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Talks about now unto Him that is able. All God's people said, I serve a God that's able. Amen. Hey, you think about it, all the multitudes. Satan took one third of the angels. How many angels are there? A lot. He took one third of the angels with him, and they're following Satan. And Satan has a lot of avenues that he can get to us. But my Bible says, now unto him that is able. Hey, my God's greater than the devil. My God's greater. My Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise the Lord. You think of it. You have the world, the flesh, and the devil. But then you have a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. My God's way powerful than the devil. My God is way powerful. I mean, when some of the things roll back to stone and bound Satan, God didn't even have to do that. One of the angels did it. My God's powerful. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. That means to stumble. That means to trip up. To keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. God is able. Remember when he left this earth, the angel said, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall come in like manner. My Savior's coming back. And he's going to present us faultless before our Father, our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's able to do that. Praise the Lord. My God is able. Praise the Lord. Then he says in verse 25, look at this. To the only wise God, our Savior. To the only. How many gods are there? One. How many saviors do you need? One. God doesn't mince words. The only, like the only thing you need, God, guns, and Dr. Pepper, and you can make it through life. Amen? It's about, well, your Ford truck, you need that. But the only. Folks, you go ask in this world, how do you get to heaven? What's going to happen? They got all these things that you must do and believe and be involved in, but my Bible says the only, the only, the only. Jesus Christ says, I am the way, the truth, life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me and all the other gods. No, only by one Savior. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, the only. Then he says, the only wise God. Jesus is a personification of wisdom. You can have knowledge, but you need wisdom. God, who was the wisest man on earth besides the Lord? And God gave him what? Wisdom. Remember the two ladies that came and they were all upset because they had two babies and two ladies to start with. Now only they've got one live baby, one dead baby, and two ladies. Both saying, that's my baby. So he had the facts. He understood. But he needed more than just knowledge. He needed wisdom. He needed to know what was right. He needed to know how to apply right. To look at the facts and do right. And that's my God. My God is wise. Not only does he have all knowledge, can you imagine being in the same home, Jude here, with Jesus? I don't know if Jesus ever talked about it. I don't know, but he could talk about creation, Adam and Eve, talk about the flood, talk about all the other things that happened. This is Jesus. And Jude did not accept Jesus and believe in him till after the resurrection. Then he says, wow, there's Jesus. He was dead. Now he's alive. Man, that's the Savior. That's what he's saying. But Jesus had knowledge, but he had wisdom. Where are we supposed to go? The Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Let him go to God. Let him ask of the Lord. Look what those said about it. Look in John chapter number 1 and verse number 48. Jesus knew everything. John chapter 1 and verse 48, and Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathan answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Why? Because he knew this man is, there's something special about him. He knows God is the only wise God. He said, you saw me? How'd that happen? Look in chapter 2, verse 25. It says, And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Chapter 4 in verse number 9. The Bible says, Then saith the woman of Samaria unto them, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus talked to her, and then she went and said in verse number... verse 27, and upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman, yet no man said, what seekest thou or why talkest with thou? Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? God knows everything. God had knowledge. Look in chapter 5 and verse number 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Look in chapter 7, verse number 46. The Bible says, Not that any man has seen the Father. That's 5 and verse 6. I'm in 6 verse 6. 5 and verse number 6. The Bible says here, When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been... Okay, chapter 6, verse 6. Sorry about this. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus asked them and said, what are we going to do with this crowd that needs to go eat? Was he doing that? Was that a rhetorical question? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He wanted them to think. Kind of like your kids. You come in and you see a mess and you say, what in the world went on here? Do you have any idea what went on there? Yes, you do. There's one time our kids got... talking about loving your wife, I went to the mall and those people that stop you from Israel and they've got that sea salt and that expensive lotion. All you got to use is just a little bit. Well, I bought that for my wife and I think it was Joseph and Annabeth were at the bottom of the stairs and they were almost giving themselves a bath and all that stuff. I mean, all of it. And you're like, what in the world's going on? Well, you knew what was going on. That was not a rhetorical question. But Jesus knew what he would do. In Matthew 22, 17, it says that Jesus told them, hey, this is what's going to happen. They're going to try me in a kangaroo court. They're going to find me guilty. They're going to put me to death, but I will rise again the third day. My God is the only wise God. Then back in Jude, it says here in Jude, get back here. So he says, to the only wise God. God. What is that? That's the Elohim of the Old Testament. That's the God of creation. That's God the Son. That's the living Word. That's the Almighty God. That's God that's omnipresent, omnipotent. That is the Lord, the one that came to this earth and died on the cross and third day rose again. That's the God. And Jude is saying, hey, we need to realize that this is the only wise God. We're on the winning side. Yes, things may happen and the apostasy may come, but we don't have to let it keep our eyes off of the Lord. I believe that's what Jude is saying. All that is going on, yes, but keep your eyes fixed on God. Now, unto Him, the only wise God. Then our Savior. If you're saved tonight, say amen. Aren't you glad God's your Savior? If you're saved, it's not because you got saved because of religion, because you got a Baptist haircut, because you got dunked in the baptismal pool, because you've kept the Ten Commandments. You're saved, every one of us, because if you're truly saved, you're saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. creation didn't cost God much. Well, to create woman, it took him a little thought and stuff like that. But I mean, to create man and everything you see in 6 days. And he did make a mistake with cats, but we'll forgive him. Amen. I'm getting these looks. Anyway, but think about it. Creation was done in 6 days. But he chose to redeem us. It wasn't an oops. It wasn't a meeting in heaven. Hey, Jesus, come here. We got a problem. Adam and Eve have transgressed. What are we going to do now? Jesus had salvation planned before the foundation of the world. He knew from his foreknowledge and his wisdom and his omnipresence and omniscience, he knew what was going to take place, and he loved us. Beloved, he wanted to redeem us, wanted to buy us back. It's kind of like when the prophet, was it Hosea, that his wife went into whoredom, and he had to go buy her back. And that was an example. And why would you want to do that? She's made her bed. She's lied to her. That's what she wants. But no, you're going to buy her back and show love to her. That's what God did for us. He loved us. Loved us so much. He's our Savior. Bible says He became sin for us. The just died for the unjust. God did that for us. You know what? The miracle is not that He made the world out of nothing, but that He made a saint out of us sinners. That we're covered by God's righteousness, and God does not see our sin. Our sin is removed as far as the east is from the west, and He did that on purpose. So, the only wise God, our Savior. Then it says, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Amen. There's some splendor. There's some honor and glory and praise that is due our Savior. And I'm sure Jude is saying, yeah, he was my brother. We lived in the same house. But he really didn't recognize him, like I said, until after his resurrection. And now he writes this, and I don't know how long it's been, but he realizes that that little boy that was my brother is the God, the Almighty God. And he says, be glory and majesty. There's some personal splendor, glory and majesty. When there's an official event and you roll out the red carpet, like the inauguration and other things, and everybody's dressed in their best, and there's guards standing at attention, and you say, "Man, this is majestic. This is formal." That's nothing like our Savior deserves. Majesty and splendor. Look at His positional splendor. Look at Hebrews chapter number 8. Hebrews chapter number 8. Look in verse number 1. The Bible says here, it says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is set down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's sitting on the right hand of the throne of Almighty God, our Savior, our High Priest, the one that did so much for us. Look at Matthew chapter 17. The only time this was seen really on earth was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, or verse 6, I'm sorry, chapter 17, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter and James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Can you imagine? What a sight! The Lord standing there, Jesus is standing there, and it's like the sun and the white. Remember Moses, when he went up to talk with God, came down, and they said, you got to put a veil over your face. You've been with God. Your face is shining. And the majesty of Almighty God. And then it says, dominion and power. Like I said, you think of the army that Satan has at his disposal. One third of the angels. And the Bible says in Ephesians, we don't fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness. But my God's up to the task. Dominion and power. You think of when we were created, God gave Adam, says, let's look at it. Genesis chapter number 1. Look at this. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 26. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. He gave them dominion. And I don't know how far it would have gone if they hadn't sinned, but they gave that up. Who'd they give it up to? Satan. Now Satan's the god of this world. You see the temptation in Matthew chapter 4. And Satan said, Lord, if you'll just bow down and worship me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. That means he's partly in control. He partly has dominion. He can do some things because Adam surrendered that when he sinned. But guess who's going to take it back? He's going to take it back. And you're going to see in the millennial reign that the Lord is going to rule with the rod of iron. Praise the Lord. And then you see in Revelation that he's coming back. And it says in the second coming, in the battle of Armageddon, in chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Have no doubt, my God is going against evil. He's going to stand up. He's at war with Satan, and he's going to take care of him and the false priest and the Antichrist, and they're going to be taken care of. And he's going to rule and reign forever and ever and ever. So my Savior. And then the last thing, he says, dominion and power both now and ever. And ever. Amen. Tell me some people that have been in power. Julius Caesar. Herod the Great. Alexander the Great. Persia. Greece. Rome. Britain. Are they in power today? They're for a while. Pass on. Nebuchadnezzar, their empire and Rome ruled the known world at that time, but no more. And he tells, Jude says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. He's just never going to cease. We can serve him. And we're going to serve him forever and ever and ever. Not just going to fly from out in space. We'll be serving the Lord. We're called servants. We're going to enjoy the presence of the Lord forever and ever and ever. So I want to encourage you. It's not going to get any better. But praise the Lord. He said, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ in eternal life, and of some having compassion, making a difference. What's our job? Our job is to go reach the world with the gospel, have compassion, want to help, tell them about our loving Savior. And then for ourselves, Now to unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That's exciting. Just need to keep doing our job. Be faithful. Just continue. Just continue. Is it going to get harder? Absolutely. I don't think we've seen anything yet. I think, what tribulation? Somebody gets onto us, somebody yells at us for doing right. What's that? Look what the apostles went through. I mean, everywhere that Paul went into, they were casting stones at him. They wanted to hurl him before all the magistrates and the people. And these men, they said they have exceedingly troubled our city and said there's another king and trying to give us all this knowledge and stuff about this doctrine. All they were trying to do is tell people about Christ. But continue. Continue. Have compassion and keep our eyes on Him. Now, unto Him. I'm so glad I serve a risen Savior. I'm so glad I serve a God that's able to keep me from falling, keep from stumbling, because He's the one that's going to get all the glory, honor, and praise now and forever. Amen. Continue. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You. Thank You for tonight. God, I thank You for those that are here tonight in Your house. God, I pray that we might just continue. God, I pray that we might earnestly contend for the faith, stand up and fight for the Word of God. God, that we might build conviction, we might build character. God, we might build commitment in our hearts and our lives. God, that we might be a witness and a testimony to this ungodly world. God, that we might hand out more tracts, we might witness to more people, we might see more people saved. God, that they might know, as we do, the only wise God, our Savior. God, help us to worship You and honor You now, because we know we'll be doing it for all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand tonight as the piano begins to play? I don't know how the Lord has spoken to your heart, but maybe you need to do business with the Lord. Maybe, Lord, I don't love You enough. I don't love You like I should. Lord, I want us to continue to serve You with all my heart. Would You come tonight?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see.
Continue.
There's light for a look.
He's able to keep you from falling, present you faultless.
And life more
you said,
abundant
now unto him,
and free.
Unto him. It's a person. Christianity is not a set of do's and don'ts.
Upon
it's a relationship.
Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Come tonight.
Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion.
Beloved,
for more than
what an endearing term, beloved, you are loved.
Turn your
it's just like God's great love to love us. Forgive us.
Jesus, look
guess what? We're
going to
be presented faultless.
Wonderful
because
face.
Of us? No. Because of God.
And
because
the
of the Father.
Things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Sing one more verse tonight. Would you come?
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying. his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
May be seated while these are here at the altar. All right. Now, God's people said, appreciate that. All right. After we dismiss, I need all the parents, your kids are going to camp. If you come down right down here, talk about you for talk with you for a few minutes. So let's all stand, talk to you about you. I don't know anyway. I'm on the winning side. Let's end with this song tonight. Sure, love you. Appreciate you being here tonight. And looking forward to Wednesday night. And back in God's house this Sunday, come and go souling with us. Come go knock doors with us. Take tracts, hand them out, tell them about our Savior. So let's sing verse 1, page 542. I'm on the winning side.
Once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then my Savior came along, and he showed me I was wrong. Now I know the winning side. Well, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, for being our only Savior. And God, I pray that you might bless our people. Give us a good week. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.